Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. Yet all the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I don't know. I hate when these markets go from unbelievable volatility to none. It's obviously a pain in the tuchus. Very challenging. Changes the whole dynamics. And of course, yesterday, we saw a market that was quiet. Volume has been very light this week. But it was quiet, but did have a sell-off, and that sell-off went right down to where one might have expected it to go to. So I think that that's something that is interesting and kind of in line with what we've been talking about. We expected that the markets may be ready to make a move to the upside. And again, certainly I would say that we would identify the levels as 24.5 is support, and 25 and change resistance. But it would be no surprise to see a little bit of a rally. I think the highs are still in. That has not changed. But again, the style of trade has changed. And I think that's one of the things that we need to always learn and understand, is if the style of trade has changed, okay, how do we adjust to that? And right now, we know that there's not a lot going on. Okay, so we know that it's not going to be real busy. So we know the first thing we understand about what's going on is that we're not to be overly aggressive here. Okay, that's the first thing. We don't want to be too aggressive, because when you lack volatility, you lack a reason to want to be aggressive into a market. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, we want to be more in the observation type of position right now. Why? Because we like you. No, because right now the markets are not showing or giving us a lot of reason to be too aggressive. So we want to be more in the observation and looking. And right now, the right trade today, or in this kind of market right now, would be looking for some support to buy. Now, if you want to choose to wait for resistance to sell, that's fine. It depends if you want to trade both sides of the markets or not. But you are seeing some things that are indicating, and of course the earnings have been good as advertised, but just because they're good as advertised does not make the reason you want to buy. This goes back to understanding the footprint that the markets leave. If you follow the footprint of the market, you will find out that even though these earnings are very good, the markets have already priced those earnings in. So why would you want to jump in? And I think this is an important fact and an important point that you can go back and look at through history when they've already priced in the markets. These earnings are not a surprise. In other words, these are not a surprise. They're what they're expected. We were expecting boxcar monster earnings. So that's what we're getting. We're getting boxcar monster earnings. So there would be no reason to get aggressive thinking that they're going to go up. But again, I always warn and remind you that we are a little bit overvalued, in my opinion, and you're better off looking for a dip instead of trying to chase up a rally. And yesterday was a perfect example. Okay, you could have bought into that dip if you chose. I did not, but it's again, that was certainly not a horrible trade had you have made it. And that's what you're looking for now. You need to have a solid technical reason to get in or get out. And I will share that oil with you from yesterday. I think oil had what we call a key reversal in this business. Made new highs and closed on or near the lows. I would think that the oil run might be over now. That, and again, we've had key reversals before that have not worked. And again, it is not a guarantee that it is going to work. But again, when you have a market that has been so dramatically overbought and so heavily manipulated, you would expect that maybe that might be the trick, because they have now turned the world into oil bulls from oil bears. And the fundamental side of the trade does not add up to the technical side of the trade. So we would expect, again, I'm not saying it can't go higher. I'm saying that the pattern suggests that we had a blow off followed by a key reversal, which should indicate lower oil prices. Now, again, we'll see how that does indeed trade out over time. And certainly if you are short oil along with yours truly, then, you know, if we do break over 70, it would probably be time to say sayonara. But it's been a painful experience. But we do have some reason to believe that a key reversal was put in yesterday. And we would continue to look for now, opportunities to take advantage of a rally and sell into it. Of course, the 10-year has now gone back up to its highs of the years, actually making a double top in rates or a double bottom in the 10-year notes. And again, I think that this could be, if they break out from here, this could be the spot that the markets do fall apart. I believe that there are a bigger percentage of people that are in the market that don't want to be, and that would love to get a guaranteed 3% on their money. So I think you'll see the markets move if they go. And again, there's no guarantee that the 10-year is going to go over 3%. But I think that will be the big benchmark. Now, I think the first time you see it up there, you may see it pull back. It may pull back from here. I mean, that's obviously, we are at a double top. But typically, in downtrending markets, which certainly the 10-year notes are in a downtrend, making the 10-year rates in an uptrend, but the 10-year notes are in a downtrend. And of course, we say this often, that selling double tops in a downtrending market is a very strong signal. It is the same as buying double bottoms in an uptrending market. So for my money, I would look for a spot to be a seller of a rally of the 10 years because, you know, the rates are at a top. But so I think that you would look for a possible pullback, which would give us a little rally in the 10 years, which would give us a chance to sell that double top in the 10-year notes in the futures. And I think that's something that you look for. Okay, I think that is probably the clearest trade on the board right now. You know, everything else is very quiet and very tenuous, and got some issues. But we'll also talk a little bit about gold and silver. But there are a lot of things going on in the markets, and a lot of things that, you know, are not logical. But again, we're not telling you that the market's going to do anything right here. Right now, you could say that they're probably into a consolidation range, and they have the severe downtrend has maybe changed. So again, we're not going to be aggressive. We're going to be observing and very quiet and peaceful. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, want to remind you to go to libertytalk.fm every day and download the Bubba Show, and also the Sporting Edge and Crypto Investor X. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free every day after the close. Go to BubbaTrading.com, fill out the form, and you can get the update starting every day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back with Jane King after the break. It's the time. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Catching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Hey, Todd. Good morning. Just ready for summer to come and just, you know, continuing to watch Washington and all the circus is going on there.
Well, we're going to pass summer this year. We're going right in. We're going right into the election. Right? Summer is over.
I don't think we're going to have a spring, summer, or fall. I mean, it still feels like winter in New York. It's like 30 degrees wind chill.
The weather's like the politicians, awful of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine what's going on here? You're watching, obviously, the first we do have to talk about the passing of Barbara Bush. I thought that was obviously very sad. I mean, a great woman and lived a full life. So you can't you can't be upset about that. And that professor from California, Carrara or whatever her name was, who said that she's a racist. Is that not idiotic?
You know, they're just kooks. I mean, they're just people who are kooks. I mean, and she's a kook. I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, Barbara Bush never said anything racist. I mean, yeah, it was actually kind of sad for me because I really feel like that was the first election I ever voted in was the elder Bush, you know, so it brought back some memories and kind of watching her, and she was funny. And I love the fact that she was like, you know, kept her hair gray, never worried about plastic surgery and just like did her own thing. So she was a really cool person.
And I thought the joke about her son was really pretty funny, too. I don't know if you caught that joke, that the reason George is the way he is because she's smoked and drank when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But so, of course, we've still got the same issues. Now, what's your take on the potential meeting with North Korea? I mean, this is the first such potential meeting in history, I guess. I don't know. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, certainly in the past, 50 years or so. I mean, I think, look, I mean, if we're going to truly achieve peace and not worry about nuclear weapons and them launching them toward us or Guam, or we're going to have to like sit down and talk. And I think it's great that Pompeo went over there. Apparently, I mean, I know very little about this, just basically what's been reported, but had a meeting. The fact that they're even talking is hugely, is a huge progress. So I think this could be historic. Now, let's just see if Donald Trump gets the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, no chance.
If that happens, if he is responsible for North Korea backing down, or maybe even the Koreas reuniting or something, he would absolutely deserve that, and he won't get it.
There's no chance. Look, why is now? This is a very good question or a very good point. And why is Donald Trump the most hated guy? No, wait. Before you answer, okay, we know, is he hated because he's pompous and because he, you know, people call him a narcissist and other names, and he is a little braggadocious, or do they hate him because he really represents true change? And really is putting a crimp in the style of the politicians in Washington on both sides of the aisle. It doesn't matter. You know, to me, you know that I don't like either side of the aisle. So I'm not, you know, McConnell's, I don't like. So I mean, he's on the right and the other on the left. I don't like either side. So is it because he is trying to really affect real change in the system, or is it because of who he is as a person?
Well, you know what, Todd? Good question. I mean, because, for example, like, and I've heard so many different, I live in New York, so I get an earful. But, you know, I heard somebody the other day say the only thing they like about him is that he's coming in and breaking glass and disrupting stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, this is a person who I think moderate, maybe slightly liberal person. They did say they thought he was a racist, so I do hear that a lot. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. I mean, the thing is, I don't think he is. I mean, he's crude in some of the things he says and could nuance that better. But I think he's just like, look, we're in a mess. This country's in a mess. We're in a financial mess. We're in a cultural mess. And he's just trying to straighten things out. I mean, we have gone on for decades with kind of lackluster rules. Maybe we follow them sometimes, maybe we don't. The immigration thing has been just anarchy. I know, and there's a report in the New York media this morning that MS-13 is threatening to kill police officers on Long Island. And, you know, those guys are here from illegal immigration. I mean, we have let this go on way too long. And so, you know, here comes Donald Trump kind of trying to straighten everything back up and get us back to kind of a law and order society and one that's like watching our finances. And, you know, people just hate him for that. I honestly think like maybe it's just his personality. Just people just really don't like that about him. But I mean, I'm more concerned about is he getting things done and changing things to set us on the right track for the next generation. So I don't know. But boy, people really dislike him.
Well, no, it's amazing. But what I really hate, Jane, about the whole system is since the election, since he was elected, we've been talking now about the 2018 elections. When is it going to be that we just do our job? Okay, when is it going to be that they just go out and do what they're supposed to do and not worry? Because all we see now is everybody's just worried about the next election. There's nothing to take care of. Let's take care of business today and let the elections fall where they may. But of course, that's not what happens. And do you ever see that changing? Is there ever a way to change? I mean, the only way to change is to put term limits in, and that would be the end of it. But I don't think I don't see that happening.
You know, you and I have talked about that before. I mean, term limits are not a bad idea. I mean, I think that maybe what we need, in principle, kind of, you know, want people to kind of vote and whether somebody's doing a job, but I don't think the American people can seem to pay attention enough to be able to make that choice, and they just vote for whoever they've heard of or don't vote at all. So you know, maybe that's the answer, is term limits. But you're right, and I mean, and it's just there's so many distractions, and there's so many, you know, the whole Pompeo thing for Secretary of State. It's like, come on. I mean, Rand Paul, like, you know, nothing is ever perfect, and you have to kind of work things out and what's the best solution. And, you know, so it's just, there's just so much arguing and so much energy. I mean, it's just exhausting to watch. I can't even imagine being in Washington and being a part of it.
It's horrible. And of course we had, Comey's book come out this week. What is your take? Not necessarily the book, but of what he wrote. And what's going on with the FBI, what they found out McCabe was lying and some other things. I mean, doesn't that really put a big crimp in your mind about what's going on out here?
Well, sure. I mean, it's, you know, the FBI reminds me of some of the big organizations that I've worked for, is that you get in this groupthink, everybody thinks alike, and people become robots. And they don't think independently. You can't speak out. You can't have an opinion. You have to kind of toe the line. And it seems like that's what happened to the FBI. And by the way, Comey is like, he's conflicted within himself. He's like, well, there's this, but there's this, and there's this, but there's this. And there's, I mean, you saw it. The most public thing was during the Hillary Clinton investigation. Well, we're not going to charge her. Well, we have new evidence. Well, you know, and it's like, dude, just, you know, make a decision. And, I think that's showing up in his book too. I mean, I hope his media tour is about over because he's on TV all the time.
I mean, it's just the whole system seems so bad. And this is what I think that everybody hates about Donald Trump, is he's taking a lot of the skeletons out of the closet and bringing it to the people. And if you remember, we go back, you know, years and years ago, you know, obviously there wasn't so much information, and they would find something on somebody. If you remember Spiro Agnew, right? They took him out. And of course, a lot of things happen, and we need to bring this stuff to the forefront, because this backroom crap has got to stop, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, I totally agree. And that's why I can't, you asked me earlier why I think people hate him so much. I can't figure out why they hate him so much. I mean, people will, in New York, you'll be talking about Christmas shopping, and they'll work in an anti-Trump comment. I mean, just something totally irrelevant. I mean, you'll be at the grocery, and it's like, they can't stop. He's in their head. And, you know, it's just weird. Like, how people just bring this stuff up when you're talking about something totally unrelated. I don't know. Like, he's really impacted people, but I think, you know, he's got to clean things up. He's got to get people out who are lazy and the groupthink. And I'm surprised it's taken as long as it has. And some of the worst people who don't see it are the people in Washington, are right in the middle of it.
The words, according to Lila Max Media, Kitchering Reports, Jane King. Jane, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as always, we want to remind you to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And you can also get the Sporting Edge there as well and some of the other things. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. A little box will pop up. You fill out the box, no credit card. It's free to you, and I will email it to you every day after the close, a 3 to 5 minute video giving you tomorrow's newspaper today. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by for a break, and we'll be back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on Friday, April 20th. My God, how time flies when you're having fun. So I wrote a blog this morning for Kitco about gold and silver, and I entitled it A Tale of Two Metals. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And I think this is what we're seeing when you look in the metals market. I think you're seeing a little bit of both. I think when you look at the picture, gold itself has made many attempts to break above that 1365, and it has failed. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we thought that, you know, it started to make a higher low, and it started to make higher lows and higher highs as it was running, and it ran up. And then all of a sudden, it has dramatically, I don't want to get over dramatic, but it didn't dramatically, it did change now. It did peak at 1369. And then the recent high this week was 1359. And now we're starting to make, instead of higher lows and higher highs, we are now seeing lower highs and lower lows coming back to test that support. No real surprise. And then, of course, the best of times is silver, which has actually broken out and now looks on target to hit at least 1770, if not higher. And the other big thing that we have talked about here is the ratio between gold and silver. And the ratio was supposed to be by the laws of 15 to 1. Okay. And of course, last count, when we became bullish silver over gold and decided to sell gold and buy silver, we found out that ratio was 82 or 83 to 1, and it has now come down to 77 to 1. So, you know, at the height of the market, when the big rally was on back in, was it 11 or 13? Who can remember? But when we had the big rally, it was at 40 to 1. Okay. And I don't know that I expect 40, but I do expect that it will come in quite a bit. So for me, my trade would be to be a seller of gold and a buyer of silver still, because I think that is the trade that makes the most logical sense, that gives you and me the best chance to make the most amount of money with very minimal risk. I don't see the spread stretching out much more. Now, again, remember, there is no guarantees that spread will work, but it has a high probability of working. But don't overdo it by thinking that it has to work and it's got to work today. So just remember that it does have an issue. Okay. It can always change. You know, I've watched many traders that traded the corn wheat spread for years because wheat was always about a penny over corn or so. And so, you know, went down to only 50 cents once. No, that's like stealing. Let me make my 50 cents. And at one point, wheat inverted and broke a lot of people, because that can happen. So you always have to remember that there is no free lunch. There is no guarantees
You have to just look at it from that standpoint. Now, the other thing that I've been watching a little bit and something that I trade is the spread. I do trade some future spreads of Dow futures, S&P futures. And usually, in my opinion, if you wanted to be, for example, short this market, but didn't want to take a big position, this would be a time to maybe look to sell the S&P futures, buy the Dow futures. There's a direct correlation in the two. And at today's value, let's say the Dow is worth 24,600 approximately times five. Okay. And the S&P futures is, let's say, 2696 times 50. So obviously the S&P is a premium. All right. Now, typically it does trade at a premium, but the S&P is the bigger mover of the two, but they are directly correlated. There is nothing. The only thing that changes there is sometimes, in the Dow, you could have one stock that would sell off that they could create an issue. Okay. But at the end of the day, you know that they're going to be pretty much directly correlated, which is correct. They are directly correlated. And so what you would sometimes look for is to take advantage of that. We call that the rubber band trade when it gets too far outstretched. Okay. When it gets too far outstretched, you want to try to look for the rubber band to come back in, which it almost always does. It's called reversion to the mean. So what I do here is I sell the S&P and buy the Dow. And what that does for me is it gives me a potential to create the rubber band trade. So if right now, if the S&P is worth about 35,000, excuse me, 135,000, and the Dow is worth about 123,000, that's about a 12,000 premium. Now, that's pretty wide out, and it can be wider, just like we talked about in the gold-silver ratio. But I think one of the things you can look at is when the markets were at their deepest destruction in 2008, the spread actually inverted, and it was the other way. But typically, you look at it as any other trade, and as it stretches out too big one way, then you want to look to do it the other way. So for now, if you want, this is a way of creating a short position, because if the markets do get tanked, the S&P is going to go down faster than the Dow when it's all said and done. Any one day, there's no guarantee of that. But over time, that will be the way that it will go. So if you look at it from that perspective, that's just something that you could look at as a trade as well. I think when we look at the pressure we're seeing right now on the grain markets today, I don't think it's any super big deal. I don't think it's anything we would be really worried about. I think what we look for is an opportunity to continue to trade, an opportunity to continue to, buy. I mean, we're definitely buyers. We definitely think that, they're not going to go way lower. I mean, certainly they could go lower. There's no question that can happen. We can't say that they can't go down. We just believe that they're at a level that, we look for a big potential big market here. So I think that you continue to look for what would be potential opportunities, and I think that shows to be a very good potential opportunity. And that's why we would look to be buyers in there. We're looking. We like the ag space here, based on a lot of the things that are happening in the overall markets. I mean, again, the dollar is trying to make another run up to that 91 to break out. The euro currency is under a little bit of pressure. So, I think that the grains have already kind of priced in that information. So I don't think that that becomes a big ordeal. And I think this is what we're looking for. I mean, again, you've seen some dramatic moves in a few things this week. And again, that's not no surprise in the markets. You know, we're not surprised or concerned about it. We just understand it. And we want to make sure that we put ourselves in the highest probability position, which in my views are the grains right now, I think, have the highest probability. I think the silver gold trade has a high probability. Now, again, there is no assurances or guarantees to that, but I think there's very low risk to those trades. And, you know, after all, as traders, if you're trading actively, all you're trying to do is put yourself in the best mathematical position to create the biggest opportunity to create the best chance for you to make money. And that's really what it comes down to, because what do we know? What do we always talk about? It's all about the money. As we know, life comes down to two things, and one of them happens to be money. All right? And, you know, so we have to make sure that we, you know, keep ourselves, keep our perspective, and keep our probability chances of success higher. Again, we're only playing a probability model. Nobody can guarantee anything for a 100% certainty. Okay, we cannot guarantee anything for 100% certainty, except for death and taxes. But some people don't pay their taxes, and you know, actuaries can only give you a number of when somebody's supposed to live through. They can't give you 100% certainty of that, to be exact. So what we do know is that all our job is to be in the highest probability model to continue to trade successfully, all right, knowing that we're going to have losing days and losing trades. But if each trade is a higher probability, then at the end of the day, we're going to grind out the probability model. And that's what you're trying to do, is to grind out the probability model. And I hope that makes sense to everyone. And if not, you shoot me an email. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you know, we have our high school investing program, and, you know, we're looking to raise a little bit more capital. And certainly, if you'd like to help us out, you know, we've been taking care of it for 7 years and 450 high schools and financing it. But if you'd like to help out, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And also, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can get The Bubba Show, you can get The Sporting Edge and Crypto Investor X. And in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out of a break. I'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, it is Friday. It's the weekend. It's still winter. Are we dreaming of a white Memorial Day or a white July 4th? What the heck is going on here, man? Jeez. Talk about global warming. This is the worst start to a baseball season I've ever seen, was how cold every game is. But there's a lot of things going on. And, you know, I want to warn everybody. And again, I am not trying to tell you the markets are going down. Again, that's not what I do. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm telling you, you know my words. The markets go up 8% year over year. They don't go up every year, but they do go up 8% year over year. Okay, that's number one. But when you watch and you see these pundits on TV and you see the advisors, what really pisses me off is that these are the same jackasses that told you in 08 that there was no need to worry. The high tide of prosperity was going to continue. We had Janet Yellen tell us that there's going to be no more crashes in our time. And those are things that you should be warned about now. Now, again, let's just look at the picture logically. A, nobody can predict to 100% certainty what's going on. We can predict so far, based on history, it's 100% certainty that the market goes up 8% year over year. So far, that's what we have. I mean, that's our history. That's all we can say. But from a trading standpoint, okay, you have to look at the patterns in which you're trading. And certainly, if I look at what's going on in the markets and I say, you know, to me, there's very little more upside to what there is in the downside. And that's just in the short term here, you know, the next 6 months or whatever. But you still that still does not clear the way just to sell, 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 sell. And you as an investor, you should never try to time the market. You should just sit, you should tough it out and be hedged, and then you wouldn't have to tough it out. But in the meantime, my point is very simple. The pundits want you buying the markets. They want you in because A, it gives them something to talk about. And it's something that is positive and happy. So that gives viewers a more an opportunity to tune in. And the advisors want you in because, again, they get more commission. But the key to be to look at always would be when they showed the disclosures, is their money invested? I think that is something that you should always look at. Is the guy who's telling you to buy something, does he own it? Right? You will never see me on air or hear me talk about something that I don't own. Or I'm not short either side. Okay. I won't make a recommendation if I'm not in. In fact, in my classes, when I teach, I go, I can't tell you exactly. I can say, this is what I see, but I didn't make the trade. So I can't really tell you for sure. Okay. Because there's nothing like, you know, being in the heat of the battle and making that key trade or whatever. But my point is very simple. These people do not have their money at stake. So in other words, they have no skin in the game. And it really irritates me when I watch these guys talk about oil, for example, right now. And you know, or the guy who says, bye, 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 bye. I mean, there's a few of those out there. Now, again, listen, if you just say bye, bye, bye all the time, you're going to be right over time because the markets do go up 8%. But my simple point is this. Again, when you see something that is so significantly stretched and it's gone straight up, okay, in this case, or straight down if you're looking at the other side of the market. But if it's gone straight up, you have to weigh the probabilities of how much farther that it's going to go higher. That's all. Again, it's not that we're trying to pick it. We're playing a model. And if you get too far away, then eventually you have to see some problems. Now, we're starting to see some subprime lending. We're starting to see some liquidity issues in some investment-grade bonds. You know, nobody talks about that. Nobody cares. We're seeing an inversion of the yield curve with 2 year rates just getting ready about to surpass 10 year rates. You know, that's not bullish news. Okay, we've talked about this all week. The wage growth, that's not bullish news. So yes, companies are beating their earnings. General Electric, they beat their earnings. God bless them. Okay, but the simple point is this. Okay. You're not going to continue to go forward if you don't start to see some pullback and some better news. Okay? Now, we're not news players here, but we know that if the news that they've delivered is already priced in, and we've seen this now, again, just look at most of the earnings that have come out. They were good, but most of the stocks sold off after the earnings. They might have rallied a little bit into it, but then they sold off. Why? Because the markets have already valued and priced in that information. So beware of what you're being told. And, you know, listen, that's why, you know, I was, for example, kicked off of the TD Ameritrade show. Why? Because I called OPEC crooks. Does anybody here argue with the fact that OPEC are crooks? Right. That's one of the things you have to be careful with on air stuff is, are you getting their opinion, the person's real opinion? Or are you getting the opinion of their firm? Or are you getting the opinion of the network? Now, you know, with me, you're getting my opinion. I'm not interested in being mandated on what I'm going to say. You know, so I don't worry about it. I say what I want to say when I want to say it. You know, which does sometimes create some aggravation for some. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to, listen, I'd rather not appear than say something that I don't believe in. I'm only going to tell you what I believe in. Again, that doesn't make me always right. It doesn't even make me right half the time. It just, all I can give is an opinion. And my opinion is based on trying to help the people that listen to me and give them the best shot at making the most. That's all I can ever do is to create what I think is happening within the markets, and I will never try to, you know, to chase or to drag down. And that's, I think, is important when you listen to somebody. I think you have to keep the people in mind that are listening to you and kind of put them in the best position, which is why, as I said, when I go on air, I'm giving you what either directly correlates to what my position is or what I'm thinking, what I'm going to do. But I think the markets will remain a little bit quieter for the next, you know, couple of days, couple of weeks. We'll see. You know, nobody knows. If you remember that markets never announce themselves, and we know that, you know, there will be a move at some point, and it could be up again. I'm not telling you, look, I'm right now not looking to be aggressive at all, but it could be up or we could break down. I do think that we will test the lows, but it doesn't mean we won't test 25,000 first. I'd be looking to be a seller around 25,000. If I got some shorts on, I would be concerned when they get down to about 24,500, 24,000. I wouldn't get out, but I would start to, you know, tighten up some stops. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, right now you'll probably see some stagnation. We're in that position as they kind of digest some of the earnings scenes. And, of course, we've still got, you know, some real big ones coming out, you know, Amazon and Apple and Google and, you know, a bunch of others. So, you know, as we move through this earnings season, I think we'll start to, you know, see some of the things that will happen and how it will change. But I wouldn't get, again, I don't, there, at this point in time, I do not believe this is a time to be aggressive. That is one of the things I want to remind you, is there are times to be aggressive and times to be passive. And I think this is more of a time to be passive. I think there's a lot of news out there, and we could see a fundamental news bomb that could show up that would give us a solid footprint. But we don't have right now. The solid footprint says we're consolidating. That's what it says right now. So based on that pattern, you'd want to sell at the top end of the consolidation and buy at the bottom end. And again, you don't want to get too opinionated in here, because when you do, you typically end up costing yourself some cash. And we don't want to do that. But what we do want to do is we want to hope the weather is nice this weekend, wherever you live. And we want to hope that everybody has a tremendous, great weekend. Hopefully we'll get some good baseball in and some weather other than 32 below zero with snow for a baseball game. But everybody have a terrific weekend, and remember to download the Sporting Edge if you want the latest in sports from Xander and crew. And also don't forget to download the Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm. In the meantime, as always, it's been a great weekend. I thank you all for being a part of the Bubba Show, and we will see you back here on Monday. And we have Danielle DiMartino Booth coming in on Tuesday from the book Fed Up, and who used to work at the Fed. So everybody have a great weekend. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see y'all on Monday. Have a great weekend. See you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.